what has happened before our scripture that I will be reading verses, but to understand and even into chapter 18, rather. Elijah is a name that we all are familiar with, don't we? We remember that Elijah was a great prophet. In fact, he was known to perform a miracle or two or three during his years of service. He was one of the greatest of prophets in the history of Israel. And unfortunately, he was serving the Lord in the role of prophet during the time that Ahab was king over Israel. He was married to a lady named Jezebel. Does anybody remember Jezebel and Ahab? Aren't you glad you didn't name your children and your grandchildren Ahab and Jezebel? I think that I would have a hissy fit if my grandchildren had been named either of those. You see, Ahab, well, he was known as a powerful king, but he was sort of under the thumb of his wife, Jezebel, and she was not a believer in Almighty God. She had her own ways of worship that involved worship of Asherah. And Asherah was a god that you've heard of Old Testament Asherah poles. And they used those poles in their worship of that idol god. Ahab himself was also a worshiper of idols. And he was known to be forceful about his worship of a God that is not a God. However, between the two of them, as king and queen, they had not persuaded the entire nation of Israel to serve their idols, but they had influenced a great many, probably we would say a majority. Now, I see several here who have lived probably as long as I have. You might remember some decades back when there was a preacher who is now gone to be with the Lord, I believe, and I trust. And he began to talk about the silent majority in America. Does anybody remember that political group, the silent majority? And I believe that in the nation of Israel, although they did not get all the publicity, I believe that there was still a silent majority of them that wanted to believe and worship in Almighty God, but they were told that they needed to worship the deities of the king and the queen. And it all came down to when a man named Elijah was told by God Almighty to go before the king and tell him and the queen, because you have gone against the ways that God has called his people, God's going to send a tremendous drought upon the land. And Jezebel, the queen, put a price on his head and said, may my idol God, she didn't say idols, but may my gods be so pleased that you would be dead within 24 hours. Let me see the hands. Anybody here ever had a death threat made to you? I'd like to see your hand. Yes? 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 There are a few of you who know what I'm talking about when I tell you from my experience of also having had a death threat against me, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. And may I say, to God be the glory that those of you who raised your hands are still living and able to raise your hand. And mine as well. So Elijah fled and began to try to follow God. And it brings us to the point in our message right now. He is fleeing from God. He is fleeing from Ahab. He's fleeing from Jezebel. He is running for his life. He is scared. Would you understand what I'm saying? And we come to 1 Kings chapter 19, and I want to read three verses beginning with verse number 11. I would tell those who are in the media booth, son-in-law Lee, I don't remember in my notes when I'm changing slides, but I know I'm ready for scripture right now. And if, 47 years ago, my wife and I came down a Nazarene church aisle, stood before a congregation, and we said our I do's. You know what I mean? The I do. My wife said, there is one thing I won't. She told the preacher who was giving the vows for us to repeat, do not say, I will love, honor, and obey. And she hasn't been obeying since. She had him use the word that is more modern today, as is used in most weddings, I will love, honor, and cherish. And she has cherished our love relationship ever since. I thank God for my wife. As someone said some time ago, I married up when I married her. I married into a good family. My wife, her grandparents were pioneer missionaries in the Church of the Nazarene. Her parents were missionaries for over 40 years in the Church of the Nazarene. And during that time, Paula's father pioneered the work in part of South Africa, areas where they had never had the Church of the Nazarene before. Now, Paula has been carrying the torch for ministry with me for all the years of our marriage. And she has saved me from some troubles. She has cautioned me at times from doing things that maybe just wouldn't have been quite right. And she has most of all encouraged me. And when we leave this place today, she and I are going to have words. I will tell her thank you for being here. But she always sat on the second row, if not the first row, and she is backslidden today to sit back with those who need to be on the back row for reasons that they think about. She told me she wouldn't come forward, and I knew it. So when I have words with her later, I will remind her that I love her dearly, and I'm glad she's with me today. Back to the message. I was thinking about getting ready for our wedding some 46, 47 years ago. We were to be married in a Church of the Nazarene that at the time was the largest on the Iowa district, pastored by a friend of hers and mine, Reverend Gary Henneke. Gary Henneke was a vibrant preacher and a great man of God, a great and wonderful leader, and he knew that Paula was not going to be a missionary like her parents and grandparents, but rather was going to be a pastor's wife, and he urged her to relish the privilege of being a pastor's wife in spite of hardships. And he said a few things that I have never forgotten. In the premarital counseling, he said to us, "I know that you love each other, and I believe that God is going to bless your marriage, and God is going to bless your ministry. But he said to us both, I want you to remember who it is that you love. You probably won't have any problem remembering, because he said, and I remember, even in a large room with many, many people, when you and your wife might be in various parts of the room, not with one another, but are talking with people separately, he said, you will be able to hear and identify the voice of your mate. I've never forgotten it. You know what I'm talking about? If you've been married for a little while, at least for three or four weeks, I'm glad you chuckled. If you've been married for a little while, even for 3 or 4 weeks, you know the voice of your mate. And I am very sympathetic for those who have lost their mate and would long to hear the voice again. Very sympathetic. My daughter-in-law, who will be here in 2 weeks for the baptism service, I have the privilege of baptizing two of my favorite three granddaughters. Did I say that right? Two of my favorite three. I will be baptizing them that Sunday. And I've already been in touch with your pastor. I know he really wishes that he could have some people from this congregation not only to be at the baptism service, but to perhaps request to be baptized. I leave all of that in his hands. I have nothing to do with it, but I do have the privilege of baptizing in 2 weeks two beautiful young 10-year-old girls. And I say all that because I want you to know, through these past 43 years officially that I claimed before I bumped it up to 50 to match my two friends, they cheated how they count anyway. Well, not really. It's just I didn't include the years that I was preaching but wasn't a pastor yet, that's all. And as we have that baptism service, I think that you would be blessed if you were there to hear the testimony of the two little 10-year-old girls. But more than that, I think about what Gary Henneke told my wife and I. You'll recognize the voice. Even in a crowded room with many other voices speaking simultaneously. And I can tell you, that's been true. I have been in large auditoriums, hundreds of people, my wife and I speaking with different sets of friends. And all of a sudden I could hear the voice of one lady named Paula. It just sort of made my heart pound because I know her voice. I believe that that's partly the whole reason why Elijah was of God, and he knew when God was speaking in a gentle, quiet way. In John chapter 10, verse 20, and it's based upon, do you spend time with God? The way that I know Paula's voice, Before we ever got married, I spent as much time with her as I could. Since we have been married, we still spend as much time as our schedules will allow being together. Just this past week, no, 2 weeks ago, my wife's employer, her HR person of Hy-Vee grocery stores in our city of Omaha, he asked her to work on a Friday night on July the 4th. He needed somebody to cover on the holiday. Somebody else said that they didn't want to work. And he came assuming that my wife would be willing to work, especially since he took away her work scheduled hours for Thursday. He figured she would want to make up the hours that he gave to somebody else so that they could have off on the 4th of July. And my wife looked him in the face and said, "My husband and I have plans." I was proud of her. You know what I did? I took her out for a steak dinner. It means a lot that my wife wants to spend time with me, and she knows my voice. If she were not here but was listening to some recording, she would know it is Mark that is preaching. She knows my voice, and I know her. By the way, she is also a good speaker for groups in public herself. She just doesn't like to admit it. She has great stories to tell about being a missionary's daughter. She's a great speaker. Her mother was not ordained as a minister, but her mother is a powerful preacher. Gone to be with the Lord now. We know the voice of the ones that we love, and God cannot direct us if we are not proactively listening intentionally, carefully to what He would say to us, and then obey it. Does anybody here remember the song, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey"? You know it. It's a great old hymn. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and I am choosing to use it from a translation that we know as the New Living Translation. It's a powerful, accurate translation of God's Word, unlike the Living Bible of the 1970s that was a paraphrase. New Living Translation says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." You see, Jesus is the one we listen to. When I think about listening being more than hearing, I think that the focus of the question is, what are we doing? How is it making a difference? The second thought to leave you before I close my part of this is simply that the voice of God comes to each of us in a way that He intends for us to understand clearly. I do not believe that God would speak to you knowing that you have no way of knowing what He is saying. The God that I love, the God that I serve, the God that I have given my life to since I was a little boy, He is a God who intends for me to understand clearly. And He is also patient enough to give us time to listen. God isn't trying to disguise His voice. If there is an uncertainty, ask God to help you. Ask God to help me to be able to tune in to the voice. I keep looking at a clock back there, but it doesn't appear to be moving. I think it's time to shut up, isn't it? I am almost through, but I can promise you I'm not through yet. You see, in Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you. I will watch over you. That's the Lord's word. And in fact, I think about how the scripture says that God doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to understand. He wants us to realize sometimes he does speak in a whisper, and we must intentionally be in tune. How many of you have a radio? How many of you have a television? And how many of you know that there are many voices, musically and spoken, that come across both? And you can turn a dial or push a button to choose who you will listen to. You know what I'm saying? Voices all out there. They're all around us. There are voices that want to be heard. There are voices we can choose to listen to. There are voices that we can choose not to listen to. I like what it says in Isaiah chapter 30. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Directions from God are always right. Do you hear me? Directions from God are always right. Sometimes we hear voices that are not God's voices. I remember pastoring in one church of the many that I pastored. A lady stood up to testify and said, would you please pray with me that my daughter will get a divorce so that she can marry her lover that she is not married to? I want to tell you, folks, that was not God speaking. That was not God. I wanted to have somebody just slap her upside the something or another and have her sit down. And I made sure that her testimony was very short. God help us. We sometimes call ourselves Christ followers, but we listen to the wrong voices. I want to ask you, are you listening to God's voice? I want to ask you if you are hearing the right sounds. There's a video clip. It's going to take 8 minutes. I want you to watch it with me. Would you watch it?
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, you got to do it. You got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing, and it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes, and something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, "We're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out." I said, "Clouds make you do what?" Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now I grabbed him and I shook him and I said, "Come on, you gotta wake up so I can kill you." Now we're in the clouds flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, "We're dead, aren't we?" I said, "There's a very good chance of that, yes." He said, "What are we gonna do?" I said, "I don't know." But there was a radio right there and I handed him the microphone and I said, "Start asking for help." So he's in the back seat reaching up and he said, "Hello, hello." We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, "Hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette?" And I said, "Give it to me." I said, "Tom, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane." The guy said, "I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo." And he said, "You're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you?" I said, "Tell them that's correct." Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, "The first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore." And he said, "I'm gonna get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life." After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, "We understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane." We said, "That's right." They said, "Well, the first thing we gotta do is find you." And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, "My job is to get you home safe." He said, "That's my job. But," he said, "here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you gotta promise me you'll obey my voice." He said, "You can't see me, but I can see you." And he said, "If you're not gonna obey my voice, you're gonna die." When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, "Okay, I found you. Now hear me clear." He said, "You're 4 minutes from a mountain." He said, "You're gonna crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice." I never said, "I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable?" You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, "I'm freezing all the traffic in the area." He said, "It's gonna take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride." And he said, "I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice." He said, "If you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it." Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, "We're praying for you, men. You're gonna make it, but listen to the voice. That's the key." They said, "Trust the voice." You realize your head is full of voices and everybody in this world wants to talk to you and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, "I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice." Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, "Now, I'm gonna line you up." He said, "I'm gonna bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights and they're in the form of a cross." He said, "Don't you forget this. The cross is the way home." Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, "Stay with me. My sheep," the Bible says, "hear my voice and they follow me." Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, "Thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. thanks for listening to The Voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, the knock at my door. And I opened the door, and a man was standing there. He said, "Hello, David." I said, "You're The Voice. You're the one who got me home." He said, "I am." Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, "You were The Voice. You're the voice that brought me home." If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, "I'm the one who has the voice." All I can remember is that voice saying, "Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head, and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through." Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
I want to finish by simply saying, with all the voices that are easy to hear, I want to be so close to the Lord, I know when it's His voice. How about you? Brother Lee, are you going to close the service? It's your turn.
Stand with me, please. Father in heaven, help us to, in this busy world where the voices are many, to come close to you, that we hear your voice, we pay attention to your voice, we follow your voice, and do your will in our lives. Go with us today as we depart. Guide and protect us in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name. Amen.